This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 1-22-22, a great numerological formation for higher markets, perhaps. Well, Nick, markets weak, but looks like they're bouncing back.
It does look like they're bouncing back. In fact, today, the S&P 500 went down and tagged its 200-day moving average. Now, that's a pretty significant level when you fall as sharply as we've been falling and you go right into that level. That level was sitting right around 44.29 on the S&P 500, and that's a significant support level. And the markets are getting a bit off of that. They were negative in a big way early, and now they're slightly in the green as far as the Dow Jones goes, and the S&P 500 cash is basically flat as we speak. So, big technical level hit today, and this is why you want to be a technical trader. If you saw that, you knew it, and you could probably make some money from it. But nice bounce today right off that 200-day moving average. I just want to point one thing out, Kerry. This is the first time the 200-day moving average on the daily chart has been hit going all the way back to June of 2020. So it's been that long of a rally that the market has not tested that key moving average. Today was the first time since June 2020.
That in itself says a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it just tells you now that the central bankers are not pumping in that liquidity into the system, it just shows you how quickly the markets can come back down. And, you know, while the 200 MA is a good level and probably a bounce level here for, you know, a little while, overall, I do believe, though, we will go lower.
Well, I'm taking a different look on this, and I know we don't get into politics or anything else because it's technical, but if there is ever a time to like attack China with higher interest rates, economic warfare, you know what this is going to do to China, Nick.
Yes, it will not be good for China at all if interest rates go up here.
Yeah, it's going to, because they're already, their real estate sector dramatically weakened. Cascading defaults. They're kind of having the equivalent to what we had with the subprime crisis. First it hits the crap and then it hits the prime. And except that all of China's stuff was subprime, just nobody knew it. Right?
That's right.
What is Warren Buffett said? You never know who's skinny dipping until the tide goes out.
That's right. You find out who's naked, who's swimming naked.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're going to find out in China here. And will it lead to a whole cascading collapse of their entire economy? Is that the point of this really, Nick?
Well, you know, I don't think it is personally. And it could be. It could be. It could have a lot to do with it. And I wouldn't rule that out. But all I would say is that we have huge inflation here in the United States. If they don't, and this is all generated, I'm going to say 90% of it is generated by central bank money printing. If the central bankers don't cut that money printing, and they finally, you know, they're still printing money up until March. So they're still buying, you know, assets here, treasuries and mortgage-backed securities until March when they're finally going to end it. But they're just doing it a lot less now. But if they don't do it, look at what we're paying for, you know, gasoline. Look what we're paying at the store. You have shortages. You have all sorts of problems going on now, inflation related. So I think the central banks, if they want to hold any credibility, they have to raise rates, and they are just absolutely crushing the poor. So if you're a lower income person, you're just getting annihilated by this. You can't afford to go to Home Depot. You can't afford to put gas in your car. It's just crazy. And I know they say, you know, they talk about equality and all of that, but they might be the greatest destroy. They may be hurting the lower income people more than anybody.
Hey, you know what the late, great Reverend Ike used to say? The best thing you can do for the poor is not be one of them.
Well,
Remember that?
I'm going to agree with that.
Kind of brazen, but you make the decision whether you're going to participate in the depression or not. Depression starts with a state of mind and then becomes a state of economy.
Yeah, but you know, everybody in this country is groomed to go get a job. Nobody's really groomed to go out and start a business, to go out and be an entrepreneur. I don't see any classes there. I have a son that's going into college soon, and he says, "Dad, where do I become an entrepreneur? Where do I learn how to run my own business?" I said, they don't really have those classes. You have to, you know, take these classes that they really tell you how to go get a job. And, you know, unfortunately, that's how society is structured. That's the setup right now. So people just don't have that opportunity.
Hey, up until me, family was fourth generation entrepreneur. None of my kids are entrepreneurs. I can't even believe it. It's shocking. They show signs they might want to do startups at some point. My kids are really together, but they believe in having a job. I mean, my daughter's worked her way up at a PR firm. One day she will be a partner there, so I guess she's as close to entrepreneur as we get. But anyways, let's get back to the matter at hand. So growth stocks are getting crushed. We're going to value, right? Value dividend.
Yeah, that's where you had to be. You have to be in value dividend. That's ultimately the place to be. And in fact, if you take a look at the consumer goods names, they've been probably one of the strongest industry groups, and they remain very, very strong today as well. So again, I think in this environment, you still want to be in stocks that are defensive in nature. And I don't mean military defense like Lockheed Martin, although that may not be bad either. But stocks out there that make soap, they make facial skincare products, things that you need. You're going to need tissue paper. You're going to need toilet paper. You're going to need paper towels. You're going to need soap, shampoo. I like those kind of names in this kind of environment. Hence, you know, a Procter & Gamble, a Colgate, a Unilever, things like that are, you know, consumer goods names, in my opinion. And then even telecoms to a fair degree. I own Verizon, you know, things like that. Those are the stocks you can own here. Tech, if you're a savvy investor, you know, you could play some bounces, but growth is what's going to get killed in this environment, especially as interest rates move higher.
Nick, remember, you're a big market historian. But once upon a time, there was the dividend discount model, and that's the way all stocks were valued. And somewhere along the line, tax policy and such, dividends fell out of vogue. But there's still companies that pay substantial dividends, the so-called dividend aristocrats. Mm-hmm. And I would also call them the dividend nobility, which are behind the aristocrats. They're going to come more in favor. And that's why the Dow is leading, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And when you have firestorms out here, the Dow is usually always going to be the strongest index. And one thing I've said on your show for years here is that when the Dow leads, that's when you better be very, very cautious. And the Dow is the strongest of the major indexes right now.
Yeah, totally true. And yeah, that is the ultimate warning signal. So wouldn't it be funny if one day, you know, people don't realize you've been in the market your whole life. I have, 50 years or so. And really, before this era of growth stocks and everything else, everything traded on dividend yield, potential future dividend yield.
That's right.
The dividend discount model said that a stock price, a share price is based on the cumulative net present value of all future dividend flows of the stock. Now that thing is like irrelevant, but maybe it's going to come up. Hey, let's look at precious metals. It looks like they're taking a run. It looks like that 1850 on gold is really resistance point. Now I'm looking at gold. It's down again.
Yeah, gold's down 11 today. But overall, when you look at the chart, you had that very, very good move on the 19th of January. And now we're pausing and pulling back a little bit as we did go into near-term resistance. So the next big level, in my opinion, would be around 1865. I think that's your big headwind. Now, at the moment, I don't think we're going to get really through there very much. It may be a couple of points or so. I still think that's just too much overhead resistance to go higher. But right now, I think in this kind of environment, people are saying, hey, maybe gold is the place I need to go, because crypto may not be doing it anymore. The stock market may not be doing it anymore. And I need something tangible where I could drop it on my foot and feel some pain. That's the old market saying when it comes to tangible items. So gold right now is hanging in there pretty well. And I think it's still okay right now. It needs a little bit of a breather after the big move it's had, though.
Yep. I think you're right. Little consolidation, but amazing how the strength kind of came out of nowhere. It was trading in this really narrow range for the past year. Silver too. Silver broke 23 and then $24 within 3 days. Highly bullish for silver, isn't it?
Yeah, silver's had a great run and it went right up into its 200-day moving average on the daily chart. So if silver can consolidate now, I think it can make an actual move to 26. Now, with that being said, $26 is like a brick wall when it comes to the resistance point. So again, I'll be watching the silver chart closely. I'll see what kind of consolidation we get over the next week or so. And then I may dabble into silver again up to that 26 level. And then I think that's kind of it for this trade.
Hey, so Bitcoin, though, like what's going on there? And cryptocurrencies only go up, Nick.
That's what they tell us, but
like real estate and like the stock market.
All in all, though, when you take a look at the cryptos now, they're, you know, down around that 38,000 level. So all in all, not the greatest of days. Now, crypto is bouncing a little bit here as the markets get a little bit of a bit off the lows of the session. So I said the pattern on crypto is weak. You've been consolidating for a long while underneath that 200-day moving average. That is a bearish indication. And I think crypto's got to go down and take out that 35,000 level. I think that's in the cards now.
And then 35, if it takes out 35, I mean, it's trading way, way below its 200-day moving average. We're not even close to it.
Yeah, the 200-day moving average on the futures chart is around 47,600. We're at 38,700. So we are quite a distance away from that 200. But overall, you're going to have a big support level around that 34 to 35,000 area when tested. Now, we'll see how it reacts there. And then if that breaks, then, you know, I don't want to give the next big level, but it's a lot lower. So, but again, I think that will hold initially.
Well, I think the next level, it's, you know, it's behaving just like any market, Nick.
It's very technical. I think the technicals work wonderful. In fact, I'm going to start trading it with my members now, using the new ETF, the BITO, and or the BITA, I should say. But that's going to be how I do it, just for just quick action. I mean, it's an asset class. Why not do it? You know, I mean, we could we're going to make some money off of it.
Hey, that 40,000, even though I know it wasn't a major support level, was psychologically a major level.
It was, because you had that September consolidation breakout there. So if you go back and you look at the chart to July, you'll notice it put a base in, broke out, back tested it, and then it popped again. And that's actually why it held up for a week or two. But now it is below there. And, you know, I think we're headed to 35,000.
Yeah. So August 3rd, I'm looking at the cash price, spot price of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. August 3rd, it hit 38,191. So if we break 38, we break that level.
Yeah, you'll go down to 35. Lower. Yep, yeah. You'll go down to 35 quickly. And if you notice, anybody here listening, you go back and look at a chart. I'm using Bitcoin futures chart. But if you go back and look at the July 26th, low, you'll notice there was a gap there. I don't know if it's on the cash chart, but it is on the futures chart. So, you know, brings you to that big level, and then you have a gap fill on the 23rd, and that low is around 32,000 on the futures. So, you know, a lot of support in that general 35,000-34,000 area.
Yeah. So, but we see a break below 30. I mean, we hit July 20th, day before my birthday, we hit just below 30,000. and that was its bottom for then. You know, that double top, all these things were flashing signals, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They were. But, you know, the biggest signal of them all was the consolidation at the 200-day moving average. I mean, I don't think we – I think I started to talk about that on here right around early December.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was telling everybody, hey, if you go sideways here, this is going to work its way down to 35,000, little pit stop at 40, but that's going to be minor. It won't last long. And everything is playing out. It's a very technical market. And I like that about it. I don't care about cryptos one way or the other. I don't believe in them at all. I think they're equal to the pyramid scheme that used to run in my mother's bingo hall when I was a little kid in Brooklyn. But, you know, either way, they're technical, and if they're technical, and there's an asset class, we'll make money on it.
Hey, the prize here is, you know, over the years, been a lot higher than what your mom could have won at bingo. That's for
sure. Yes, sure.
but yeah, like I'm looking at the cash point 200-day moving average, exactly 47,000. When you're like trading, you know, almost 20% under the moving average, that thing's not coming back. Well, Bitcoin could come back like instantly, but everything about Bitcoin is in the red right now. All the average took out every single moving average.
That's right. And now the daily chart trend is down. We know price is trading below those key moving averages. So the trend is down and the momentum is also signaling down to 35,000. A lot of times when you have these momentum type moves, what will happen is they'll be drawn to the next level like a magnet. And, you know, that's why these levels are so important to take note of.
Yeah. Well, I told you my theory on why there's been no governmental opposition to cryptos. Really none when you get down to it.
Yeah,
unless
very
people
little.
Have really stepped beyond the acceptable level. The reason why is because every politician's on the take. And I would love to do a survey of politicians to see how many of them have wallets. Crypto wallets.
They all have it, right?
All of them.
Absolutely.
And that's why there's been no blowback towards it, because they don't care about the country, the currency, anything else. All they care about is the balance in their wallets. And if you were just hypothetically Elon Musk and you say to a politician, look, man, take this stuff, do what I want you to do, and then don't be surprised if it goes up tenfold. And honestly, it's a dog. And in fact, we'll call it Dogcoin. And, you know, you buy it for 15 cents and you sell it for 15 million. And nobody's any the wiser because you bought it, right?
Absolutely.
It's the greatest bribe mechanism ever.
You know, listen, we all know how politics works in this country and abroad.
Yeah.
So
any place in the world.
That's right. Any place in the world. That's right.
They're just like, they have higher prices here in U.S. and more brazen, because some politicians are on the take, but they actually care about what happens. Ours could care less.
That's right. And, you know, you see a lot of these politicians, they go into office, they have less than 10 grand to their name. They come out a millionaire. So, you know, in 4 years. So it's really the same old game. But, you know, I don't have that luxury. I only have charts.
Yeah. Hey, I remember I had a teacher in college. For advertising, no less. And he said, you think they go to like Congress to help people or to do something? They go there to get rich. It's a guaranteed way to become wealthy, going to Congress. Anyway, we don't need to talk about politics anymore. This isn't really politics. We're talking about not right versus left, anything else. This is just a universal law of truth. Well, enough of that. Happy Friday, Nick. And, you want more info? You want to see how Nick has been beating the averages for decades? Then you need to go to inthemoneystocks.com. The Twitter feed's at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Emails are welcome. Send them to kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday and see what they've managed to pull off then.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.